what you're doing and what you're saying, how you fooled me is not for free.
You are all alumni of the University of East Anglia, known as the UEA, from the graduate year group of 2001.
Woo!
Now in your 40s, your time at the university in Norwich, yes, Norwich of all places, seems distant and strange. And it was full of naivety and the curious confidence of youth. The dreams you had then during those 3 or 4 years of higher education have shifted, they've changed over time. One of the things that you remember very fondly, if with a certain haziness for whatever reason, was your time as a member of the UEA Occult Society, known simply as the Society, or more informally, OCSOC.
OCSOC.
The details may be clouded, but the real essence of that memory remains bright and undimmed. No doubt due to the Society offering you a place where, for the first time in your life, you felt you could be your true self. You always found fitting in difficult. The role-playing in maths clubs and drama and literary societies on offer all seemed full of phonies and tryhards, fakers and show-offs, weirdos and egos. And then you met David. As a young man, David Barber was beautiful, but it was never about his looks. Just as all those other clubs and groups and societies had always seemed so phony to you, so bound by the surface of how one appeared or how one fit in, David and the OCSOC were about truth. Truth was the sort of thing that vain actors or idiot role players would only stumble on through improvisation and blunder away from without true understanding. David was a person possessed of an unshowy confidence, a bright, unfaltering charisma, a fearless spirit. It was David who led you all to the Society. Some of you even helped set it up with him. To this day, you look back on those times with a degree of admiration, but also bafflement. You all read and studied occult pamphlets, the majority of which you can't recall a word of. There were forms, there were symbols. There had even been guides. Dee, Kelly, Fraser, the Blavatsky Circle, the Golden Dawn, Crowley himself. David was always there, leading the conversations, listening, prompting, full of charm and humour. Almost mystical, but always relatable. A true friend. Membership of the Society ebbed and flowed, but at some stage, a core of 13 members was set apart from the general membership, and this elite tier formed the Society's committee. Being on the committee was a true privilege, and you were proud to be a part of the 13. For many months, the group met weekly at the smaller of the two student bars to talk earnestly about politics, religion, and the latest episode of whatever you were watching, be it Spaced, Sopranos, River Cottage, or Buffy. Entering one of the student dorms, one would be assaulted by the cloying smell of incense, dope, and the discordant sounds of early 70s psychedelic rock music, or, of course, Radiohead at full volume. Baby's Got the Bends. Oh, no. On occasion, a small group would travel to a stone circle or other auspicious site in search of ley lines and a taste of Mother Nature. You were deep in enough to believe. You felt the energies and you shared an understanding. You were also feeling the intoxicating effect of beer or vodka or both, Class B drugs mostly, and that subtle but profound euphoria of being part of something. There were flirtations and assignations. Perhaps there were even relationships. You were also young, and in the aura of the Society, appeared so beautiful. In the October of your final year in 2000, David invited you and all the other committee members to take part in a great happening. You travelled out into the countryside, you remember that much. There were trees and fields, and the last of the green before the winter comes. There were tall silver birches that you recall, and you gathered around a campfire with booze and weed and uppers and downers and stories and songs. Together you performed a devotion. Perhaps it was to nature herself, or perhaps to each other. Either way, it's a devotion you never kept. The culmination of the gathering is lost to you. Perhaps the others can recall it, but the details escape you in a haze of alcohol, drugs, and adrenaline. Another night out at the end of the millennium. You have vague images of two black discs and a third golden circle. You remember laughing. Was Ray very particular about something? And then did you all laugh really hard at that? Did he and Alicia, or was it Eric? Or someone talked about Jacob, but who was Jacob? And then Mel had said something funny and strange, something about a dirty old Spaniard. Then the drugs had surely driven the following torrent of hilarity that may have become a howl, twisting into the night sky, drifting up to the stars, watching over all that occurred below. And that was when you cut your hand. That bit feels really weird and distant. Maybe only you did that, or only you felt it that way. There was dirt beneath your fingernails afterwards. You remember that? That night was a watershed for the society. Things were somehow never the same between you all. In that way that it just sometimes happens, things just fell apart, and you all started to drift away from each other. The centre could not hold. The society fragmented. You moved towards your finals, and the mechanism of graduation took over. Many of you started new relationships. Some of you turned to study, others to more mundane pleasures of dancing, celebrating, getting smashed. Pale imitations of the heights of the 13, but still something, still fun, still alive. As final term came to a close, you remember two distinct things. First, the occult society had astonishingly closed entirely, only to be picked up by some first years, a group of wannabe occultists and heavy metal fans who treated the whole thing as a joke. They didn't even deserve the name, but somehow it just had to be that way. And second was David. David's mental health collapsed in his final term of college. It was attributed by some to the pressure of study and by others to his unhealthy obsessions. Books, knowledge, lovers, perhaps. You were told David's exams were deferred until the following year. You remember standing outside the hospital, having called and promised that you'd visit. You remember you had some flowers, or a gift, or a card, or maybe it was a bottle of something for him. A favourite drink, a book, maybe. A joke written on a postcard that you both loved. You remember you looked up at the glass tower of the hospital building with its faceless, inhuman exterior. And you turned. You put your gift in the bin. And you walked away. You have not spoken to David Barber since. Decades passed. The internet exploded. And with it, the past became present at the touch of a button. Well, sort of. Eventually, a reunion was suggested. And with it, a doorway opened up, back to the old days in the UEA, back to the society. The Apocalypse Players present The Moonchild by Paul Fricker. A 7th edition Call of Cthulhu scenario from the Nameless Horrors collection. Starring Dominic Allen as Alicia Jewico, Danann McAleer as Ray West, Jeannie Spark as Melinda Moody, Dan Wheeler as Eric Wilson, and Joseph Chance as your keeper of the arcane law. Now, one of you was part of setting up the reunion that happened in June of this year, 2022. Which one of you was involved with setting that up? You weren't directly responsible.
I think maybe it might have been me. I, you know, having been the treasurer on the society, I always had an organisational mind, I suppose. So it would make sense that I might have played a bit of a role in bringing everyone, you know, back together. Really, seemed as good a time as any.
So you did that with Rachel Stenson, who was never any part of the Occult Society. She studied social and political theory, and she's a lovely woman, a real bon vivant, but very traditional, and a Christian,
kind of girl,
and a Christian, and she really cared about getting people together, and she roped a few other graduates of 2001 in on the thing, and to your amazement, all of you went. I think probably as much of a surprise to yourselves as to others. John Vinokur was also there.
Your handsome friend from the Occult Society. He's a psychiatric nurse now.
It was a really nice night. You all met in the refectory in the UEA. This is a few months back. Maggie Stern got in touch to give her apologies that she couldn't be there because she was in Holland that weekend. But she'd wanted to see you all. There wasn't really much of a chance to actually truly catch up, weirdly. It was all run by the UEA, and there were a whole load of people there who you hadn't seen, and it kind of went by in a bit of a blur. But all of you at some point promised each other it would be good to see each other on another occasion. You did not expect Sarah Moore to be the one who would bring you all together. But a few weeks ago, you all got a text from her saying that she was really sorry that she'd missed the reunion, and she'd really like to see you all. She was a member of the committee. She was one of the 13. And between you all, you set up a group chat, and she suggested meeting at the coffee house and bar, which is in the Independent Art Cinema in Norwich. Cinema City, it's called. And this had been a really good hangout for you all back in the day. And there was something about the tone of Sarah's message that really came across that she really, really wanted you to be there. She implied that she had a favour to ask, and only you guys would really understand. Could you be there this coming weekend? Friday the 28th of October.
I'll be right behind you, Josephine. I won't leave you waiting in between. And the cigarette you bummed from me is almost burning out. You suck it till your fingers burn and throw it on the ground.
In truth, of course, the timing was actually quite convenient because you all have other business in Norwich this weekend. Alicia Uwako.
It's pronounced Alicia.
Sorry, Alicia. I should know that as the keeper of the UEA Games and Puzzles Club.
Like Alicia Keys.
Alicia. There she is. Frank. Sorry, Alicia. Alicia...
My father's name was Frank.
Frank Uwako.
Frank Keys.
Frank
Keys.
Frank Keys. Hollywood.
Frank Keys. And Johnny's?
Yep.
There is Frank Keys and Johnny's still in Norwich, actually. A lot of them closed down over COVID, but more on that.
Frankie and Benny's.
Frankie and Benny's. Frankie and Johnny's is the show, is the film, isn't it? Ruined it. You have business in Norwich this weekend?
Yes.
What is it that's coincidentally and conveniently making it easy?
I run an antique shop in Lowestoft. Do I mean Lowestoft?
Yeah, quite possibly.
Yeah, Lowestoft.
The easternmost point of the United Kingdom.
That's right.
It's in Suffolk.
Yeah. So I run that antique shop, and I'm in Norwich today because there's a big... antiques fair, so it's important for trade. I'm hoping keep my eye out for something really good because we could do with some fresh goods, frankly. Everyone's seen what we've got, and what we've got hasn't sold, which means no one's interested, in Lowestoft anyway. So I've also brought some things with me to try and palm off to some other antique dealers, see if they can sell it. It'll be people from all over East Anglia, Norfolk, Suffolk, maybe as far as Lincolnshire. It's quite a big deal in the East, this antiques fair. Forgotten Norwich, it's called.
Forgotten Norwich. Love it. Love it. Great. And does it just run the Saturday or is it on the Sunday as well?
The big job's on the Saturday. Sunday, it's sort of like, you know, you don't want to turn up on the Sunday.
Sometimes you get some extra sales, yeah, that kind of thing, some extra opportunities, maybe some private collections.
It's all the CAC stuff that's left on a Sunday. All the good stuff will have gone.
Okay. So perfect timing for you. And what about Melinda Moody? What was her convenient extra reason that she had for either going into town? Maybe she's local.
No, I'm not local. No, I've actually come up for a job interview today. I've got a job interview. Well, it's for Monday coming, but I've come up on Friday.
Make a weekend of it.
Yeah. Well, basically, the long and short of it is, I lost my most recent position at the Abingdon Herald about a year ago, and I've been looking for a new position since then. I've not had much luck. I've done some freelance work, some stringer work, but I've been looking for something more permanent, and I wanted to get away from where I'd been before. And I know Richard Porritt, who's the editor of the Norwich Evening News as part of the EDP, and Dickhead, I used to call him back in the day, and I contacted him on the socials and said, I don't suppose you've got anything going. Because of my departure from my previous job, it's all a bit sensitive. It's not that you wouldn't normally consider me for an interview, but there is something on local, you know, local events, which is, you know, it's frankly a shite job, but it, you know, it brings in some money, and I need money. So I've got a job interview for local events on Monday coming.
Is that the name of the publication, local events?
No, it's Norwich Evening News.
Oh, sorry, Norwich Evening News.
So I won't be covering news, I'll be covering fucking school fates and... Oh, I knitted the biggest tit in the East Anglian Isles and all that shite.
Norwich Evening News Council Events, the Nents section.
I mean...
Nents.
It's where dreams go to die, but I just need the cash.
You don't want to get a vowel wrong in that, do you?
Mm-mm.
No. Where dreams go to die. Obviously, one could also suggest that local events in Norfolk and indeed East Anglia are the only news. So it is kind of like a front desk position, aren't I?
Yeah, I don't need your pity, all right.
I'm not a real person, Melinda. I'm the god voice in your head.
I don't need your pity either.
I could destroy you with a single click of my fingers. Okay, just remember.
I don't want the pity of the gods.
She doesn't want the pity of the gods.
I'm all right. I'm all right. I'll sort myself out. I'm all right.
We'll see about that.
Bold. We the gods with our games and puzzles. Ah, yes. Our games and puzzles. Great. So, Eric Wilson, what was your ulterior motive?
Yeah, well, it's not really an ulterior motive.
I'm being unfair there.
It's one of my clients is, ever since the disastrous Truss Quartet mini budget of last month, a lot of my clients have been really quite anxious about their finances. And one of my most valuable finances is based in Norwich. I shouldn't really disclose this name, client, accountant, privacy, you know. But so I just agreed I would come up and have a few words with him and try and calm him down about the whole situation, give him a little bit of advice of how he could best protect his investments in the current climate, really. Not something I do for all my clients, naturally, but he is a high-value client.
Very good. Perfect. And have you fixed a date for the meeting, or would it be a dinner thing? Or
what day is it today? It's
Friday,
and we're
Friday the 28th of October.
And the meeting, the social event that we're meeting, is this evening. Is it?
Sarah's asked to meet you at 3 p.m. at the cafe
on the Friday.
Yeah.
Let's say that I've arranged to meet my client on the Saturday.
Mm, yeah.
So it was no bother to come up a day early.
Saturday breakfast?
Yeah.
Or Saturday lunchtime? Or Saturday evening? Is it a dinner thing?
No, like a lunch.
Saturday business lunch?
Yeah.
Imagine anyone doing one of those.
I mean, is that going to get in our way? Should I say that actually I've come up early on the Friday?
No, it is the way.
Okay, this is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way, yes.
And on that subject,
yeah.
Let us go west. Terrible. Ray West. Literally, shoot myself for that one, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Fred and Rose's son.
Oh, by the way, where do you live? Sorry, Eric, where do you live?
Cut that.
Where do I live?
Not Ray, sorry.
Woking.
Woking, so... And by the way, did you say, Melinda, or are you just never from East Anglia? That's what we've established.
I currently am living in a camper van, so I'm a no fixed address.
No fixed address.
I send my mail back to my mum.
A free agent. So you've literally driven to Norwich with your home?
Yeah.
Like a snail.
It's an old VW camper.
Sweet. Okay, so, and of course, Lowestoft. Unforgettable Lowestoft. Suffolk, of course, but acceptable, just. Ray West.
Yeah.
Are you living in Norfolk?
No. I'm in Bethnal Green.
Yeah.
Nearest to the tube.
The High Times.
But, you know, I was coming down anyway because Starpoint Games have moved down. The developers, they're pretty new, but they've moved down to Norwich. I work for IGN, obviously, in London, but I do most of the coding on there for their online events, although I'm sort of hoping to move up towards... There's a new position, the sort of head of video editing. I've sort of got my eye on that, but at the moment there's... I think it's something to do with the University of Norwich, I'm not sure, but there's a new sort of television. They're trying to branch out into games, journalism, so I'm sort of doing a meet and greet between them and Starpoint and trying to talk to them about some of the infrastructure that would need to be in place were they to do any online events, whether it be as simple as Twitch streaming or, you know, bigger sort of international things. So,
perfect. And is that something that you are sort of taking on full-time?
This is just on the side, really. I haven't really told the bosses at IGN about it, but you've got to keep your options open, haven't you? So,
and is there a sort of meeting on Monday, or is it sort of meeting some people over the weekend?
No, back to work Monday, but I've got a meeting Sunday, hopefully.
It's a meeting on Sunday.
I've kept it flexible, but Sunday afternoon's meant to be, you know, I'm the consultant, so I get to say when it is, really.
Great.
In this industry.
Breakfast, lunch, or Sunday barbecue? Well, it's October, so probably not about barbecue.
We'll play it by ear. Somewhere nice, outdoors would be nice, so I can bring ramen.
Yeah, to be arranged. You've got his number, you'll sort it out.
Yeah.
Excellent. I think in addition to, you know, you're not being cynical, you do feel it would be good to see the others.
Oh, yeah.
And you feel like it would be good for you, and there's definitely something in the air now that you're of a certain age where you're feeling the connectivity that has been offered to you by the technological advancement. The simplicity and ease of being able to get back in touch with people who you hadn't had proper conversations with. Possibly with one exception, you've all been out of contact with each other. A couple of you have been in touch and communicated, but that's really it. So it's quite a nice feeling, and maybe that will inform what comes next. But you go through a process of readying yourself during the morning. You may have work to do, you may have responsibilities. Before you get to Cinema City Cafe, Suckling House. That's actually what it's called.
Good Lord.
It's off of St Andrews, which is one of the old historic areas. Just below the cathedral close area in Norwich. Very lovely. It's just above the lanes, quite near to the art school.
Ooh, I know it.
Beautiful.
Yes. You're meeting at 3 p.m. on Friday the 28th of October. So, images of the morning. Snapshots of a life.
Mm.
Four people. One begins with waking. Another begins with a morning drink and the preparation of it, the ritual. The other has their exercise. And the fourth breaks their fast. Who will begin with waking?
That sounds like one of those terrible riddles.
Yeah?
I am the UEA Keeper of Games and Puzzles Club.
One can only tell lies, the other can only tell truths.
Which one will you choose?
Ray is dreaming about Labyrinth again.
Dance. Well, Ray, I know Ray, personally, will probably be straight out for exercise, but I'm just... That's
He's laid a claim for exercise.
I think Melinda's waking.
Melinda's waking. Does anyone else want to lay a claim now, or should we go to Melinda waking?
Mine would be ritual, because I'm a devout pagan.
The morning preparation.
Perfect, because I was keen to begin with breakfast. It is the most important meal of the day.
My God, Eric.
Breakfast. Okay.
Yeah.
The difference is that only Melinda is doing any of this awake. The rest of us don't wake up.
Yeah.
We do it in our fucking sleep. Oh. Which a ritual I can kind of believe, but eating breakfast.
Yeah. Let's not mention the exercise.
Imagine, if you will, a woman in her 40s. Somehow we have a vision upon her.
Melinda's, she's taken a room in the Premier Inn, which is not something she usually does. She likes to...
Travelodge, lass. Like
to sleep in the van. No, not Travelodge, that's... Oh, fucking horrible.
Is it Norwich?
I sleep in the van, but, you know, as I'm seeing other people today, I felt it was important to have a proper sleep in a proper bed and have a wash. So I wake in my Premier Inn bed, and the first thing I do is thank the powers that be that I'm awake for another day. I do some chanting and bell work in the morning, some breathing and meditation.
Me too.
Have a shower. Put on my smart clothes. That's, I don't wear them very often. I've sort of given up trying to look smart. But yeah, again today, this feels like a momentous occasion. I'm not sure if I'm more nervous about today or about the job interview on Monday, but I'm nervous to see everyone again. I'm excited but nervous, and yeah, bit of, you know, a little bit bubbly inside. So I do that, and then
you wake up, your eyes open, and you can see the ceiling. You've been dreaming all of that. It's cool. There's a pale light coming in through the classic filtered heavy curtains of the Premier Inn.
Yeah, I've done that.
You can hear the hum of the aircon.
Oh. I've left the aircon on.
It was so real. It was as if you've already had a day. Even the emotions were so real. You did the exercise. You did the. It was so banal, but it was so you.
It's annoying when you dream it all before you've even woken up.
Yeah, it is.
Do you do anything in that moment? Or do you just lie there?
I wonder why I've put the aircon unit on when it is October, but, you know.
Give me a power roll.
God,
fuck. Straight out of the gate.
Right, hang on. Right, here we go. No, it's a fail. It's an 81 and a 60.
Yeah, I guess you must have turned it on. It's weird.
Not feeling quite right, maybe.
Bit dry in the throat now.
Yeah, headache. I've got a headache as well.
Classic. We've all been there.
Well, I may have dreamt it all already, but I do start my day with my bells and my chanting.
You get up to go to the bells, and you feel that the carpet is wet under your feet.
Oh, my God. What?
But only in just like a little space here, and then you look again more carefully and you realise that it's wet footprints.
Going towards the bed or away from it?
Towards the bed.
Oh.
You work out. And then you realise your feet are a bit dirty. Bare feet.
Okay, this is fucking weird. Okay, now I'm freaked out. What's happened? Have I been sleepwalking? I used to sleepwalk in my teens, in my 20s, but, you know, I'm 42 now. I haven't done sleepwalking for... At least I don't think
the
I have.
The van now do sleep driving.
For years.
Sleepwalking.
I don't even drink anymore.
Do you think she's talking... Is she speaking out loud, or is she thinking this?
She's thinking this. I think out loud she might just be saying, fucking hell. It's like, you know, this is fucking weird. What the fuck? So I think she'll go and look in the bathroom, see if there's you know, maybe she's run a bath or something like that, or there's a tap that's running, the sink's overflowed, something like that. Anything like that happened?
I think...
Where are the footprints coming from? Are they coming from the bathroom or from the door?
You go to the bathroom and you realise the footprints are going to the front door.
Fucking hell. So hang on, they've come out of the bathroom and they're going to the door.
No, no, as you go to the bathroom, you realise the wet footprints actually come from the front door.
Well,
they never went into
the
bathroom.
From the door to the bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm properly freaked out now. I think I open the door of the room and just sort of peep my head round the corner.
And you wake up and you can see the grey ceiling of your... The aircon's on.
Oh, my God. This is horrible. This is already horrible. I am sweating and my heart's going like a fucking fucked clock.
Can you give me a power roll?
Classic expression. My heart's going like a fucked clock.
Fucked clock.
With Nail. My spirit animal. 52 on a 60. Just made it.
Yeah, you didn't put the aircon on.
Oh. Okay.
You're really sure you didn't put the aircon on? But the aircon is now on.
Maybe it's one of those automatic timers. I can never figure out how those fucking things work. No. Some other cunts programmed, like, come on 16 degrees at 2 a.m, but you can't undo it and you don't know how to... Like, I just leave them alone. Turn them off if I can.
As you're thinking it, you just step, and then you try and take your foot away in time to work out whether, oh, have I just stepped into the wet patch or not? But the carpet's dry.
Like, fuck.
And the rest of your morning is slightly discombobulated because you just can't quite work out... Was it a technical glitch? You just feel a bit shaken, and it isn't really until you start the bells and the chanting.
Yeah.
That you centre yourself again.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, proper weird dreams.
You sink into the Buddhist Om Mani Padme Hum.
Exactly.
And we sink away through the floor, into the ground, through the roots of the earth, to a morning drink prepared in ritual fashion.
Yes. I make a special brew. It's a green tea infused with cumin and turmeric. It's meant to be... I boil it up and then I wait for it to cool. While I wait for the sun to rise, I face east. And so I get up about half an hour before sunrise and I watch the sun come up. Normally, from my window overlooking the sea in Lowestoft. Does it overlook the sea, Lowestoft? It must do.
Very much so.
Good. Well, that's what I do.
Nothing but the sea.
It's a relief.
And then when it comes up, I say, "Good morning, sun." And then I say, "Hail Odin! Hail Thor! Hail the other one, the lady one. What's her face?
Freya.
Freya! Hail Freya!" And then and then I drink... In one go, I drink the thing.
Could you give me a power roll?
And then I get... When the newspaper boy comes round, I nail him to a spike and I take his lungs out of his back.
Blood Eagle of the morning.
It's a great start. Blood Eagle of the morning. Lowestoft, just another day.
Yeah. He gets through paper boys like, it's going out of fashion. Power! Oh, that doesn't look good, does it? It's not. That's an 86 on my 55 power.
Oh.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
Yeah. So the paperboy does indeed slide in
Well, I am a widow.
Steady enough.
Got needs.
Would it be something he'd just leave on the path, or would he post it through your letterbox?
This isn't America. Puts it through the letterbox.
I'm really confused.
He pushes it through my front door.
What are we talking about now? He pushes it through your front door.
He jams it right in. He doesn't get all the way through.
He's 16. He's tall and gangly.
So am I.
He's got his hood up. And just through the... Well, I think you were upstairs, weren't you?
Probably, yes.
But you hear it. You hear it land.
And I always come downstairs in my sarong, and I always try and make sure he glimpses my leg as I'm coming down the stairs, and I say, "Good morning, Darren." He never replies.
Do you look through the window to see if he notices you at all, or do you just wait to hear?
Well, normally I go straight to the newspaper and I pull it out and I watch him through the window of the front door, watch him walk down the drive.
Yeah, okay, great. So you, yeah, brilliant. So you pull aside your curtain, and he turns and looks at you, and his face is ruined with pockmarks.
Oh.
You've never noticed before. And he sort of sneers at you. And then just looks away and cycles off.
Oh. I've never got down the stairs this quickly before. Oh, I shan't bother again.
What's the type of spoon that you use to prepare that drink that's still upstairs?
I have a wooden spoon that I bought at a neo-pagan and occult mini market. It was more of a fair. It was a sort of a fair. It'd been whittled by a woman from
Oban,
who lives in the Forest of Dean.
Yeah. Runcible, surely. Yeah.
And how far had you got in the preparation of the tea? Is it that you would, while the tea is brewing, you would go down and get the paper?
Oh no! While it's brewing, I'm waiting for the sun to rise. Then the sun rises, I'll probably come and get the paper, and then I'll drink the tea.
Right. So perhaps you return to the cup of tea now.
Yes.
A strange smell greets you as you enter into the room.
Oh.
And you look at this spoon, and it seems to be rotten and pockmarked.
Oh. Well, sometimes if you leave wood, I had this with a chopping board once. You get it too wet, it warps. But sometimes you get it wet again, fixes itself. And I've probably left the spoon in the tea. I don't normally do that.
Mm. Yeah. Left it in there too long, and maybe it's just... And you just look at it, and you hear this voice say, "Freya." And then you're standing there with your arms in the air, and you've just finished the call. And you realise that the voice really was from outside of you.
Ooh.
Someone said Freya.
Ooh.
And then you hear the cycling of Darren... And you hear the newspaper goes through the letterbox.
I'm not going to rush downstairs this time.
You look at the spoon, and the spoon's fine. It's just a wooden spoon. It's just the wooden spoon. And a pale sunlight begins to climb across the ocean. And it's discombobulating, and you don't really settle yourself until you start to get that newspaper and sip your beautiful... What was it? Cumin and...
Turmeric.
Turmeric.
And green tea.
That
curry powder,
bitter and yet exotic
curry sauce,
smashing of flavours in your mouth.
It's wonderfully antioxidant.
Your bathroom,
and you shake it off.
Oh, you can't move for crystals in my bathroom.
And you do think, well, Freya, it could have been worse.
Yeah, it could have been the other one.
Sif.
Hell. Exercise.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I'll probably be in the Mercure, if there's a Mercure. It's not like the poshest place, but somewhere they'll...
There's a nice Mercure down by the river, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I'll be there. I think they...
Just down by the Admiral Nelson, opposite the Complete Angler pub.
Oh, the Mercure.
Well, they take dogs, and I know I've had trouble in the past in travel lodges and even Premier Inn.
And the Complete Angler is very fond of dogs as well.
I'm on the ground floor in there, but I will, not at dawn, but... Just after, I will take ramen for a walk down on the... Well...
Ramen?
Oh, ramen, yeah. He's my multi-poo.
Got a photo?
Oh, I do. I'll send it on the WhatsApp, actually. I've got a lovely photo. So I think I'll wake up...
Show us a photo of your multi-poo.
Close enough. Just after. Don't have a go at ramen.
I think that's what Alicia has after a weird wheatgrass shot.
What,
a multi-poo.
Steve's irregular.
I put him on the WhatsApp. I think I used the hire car that I drove down from London in So I don't have a car. There's no point in having a car in London, but I'll hire a car. So I go down for a run, go down to the seafront, have a run, do a bit of yoga, which I'm still...
Oh, the river. It's the river pathway. Yeah. Lovely run.
Yeah, exactly. And Rahman likes to run. Tiny little legs, but bless him, but he's still very energetic. He's only three. So I go down, do a bit of yoga as well, salute the sun.
And is it yoga after or run first?
Run, yoga, and then I'll probably run, sort of half run back as well, depending on how tired I am. But yeah, but I certainly salute the sun, do a few sun salutations and, you know, go through my morning routine.
Do you take earbuds or do you just run?
No, just run.
No.
I don't like listening
just the sound
to music while I run, while I exercise for some reason. If I'm outside, and I rarely go to the gym, but in the gym I would use earbuds because I don't like all the grunting.
But Rahman runs with you?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Nice.
I mean, occasionally you'll get tired. I do have a little, like a papoose that I can put him in.
Excellent. God. Yeah, yeah.
I love this guy.
Yeah.
Multi-poo papoose.
I mean, he's energetic, but...
So I think you head down to the old cow tower.
Aye.
Which is... It's a lovely run back.
Mm.
It all runs underneath Ketz and Gas Hill. And as you get to the bottom of Ketz Hill, you think of the rebel hero, and how he led the Norwich Rebellion.
Yeah.
And your mind just gets a little bit distracted, and you realise that Rahman's struggling a bit as you turn towards the hill. So you pick him up and you start to put him in your papoose.
Come on, boy.
And you look up and you see a young woman with a buggy.
Mm.
Just putting her baby into the buggy on the hill. Now, unbeknownst to nearly everybody in the world, Norwich has a pretty nasty hill. Just the one, obviously.
You say nasty babies.
Very nasty babies. Very nasty babies.
Very nasty babies.
And just as you're picking your beloved dog up and papoosing him, this girl, she's obviously young and she's tired. She looks absolutely exhausted. And she puts this baby in the buggy and the buggy just starts to run down the hill.
Oh, shit. Well, I want to start running to try and stop it. I think I can see it happening before it even happens. I feel like I can.
Yeah.
Because I do believe in a certain amount.
The woman reaches out and starts to go, no, no, my baby. Like properly, classically, ridiculously, like a film. The whole thing is like a film to you in that moment. Yeah. Could you give me a power roll?
Yeah. 48 on 60 power.
Okay. You snap out of it. You snap out of it. You're running along the path, and you can't see Rahman.
Oh God.
It was all just in your head. You were just imagining it.
Oh God, I must have just
But you can't see Rahman.
Rahman, where is it? I mean, can I see along the path?
So you can see along the path, and you can see along behind you. There's a bin behind you. There's a couple of boats on the river.
Well, he might be sniffing around the bin.
There's a couple of trees, and then there's a road, and then there's.
You won't have got ahead of me. I was running, right? I came to as I was.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be behind me somewhere then. I must have just zoned up.
Yeah.
Rahman, and I go back, check behind the bin. And I'm just going to jog back down the path.
You hear this.
Hey, Rabbi.
And you see that he's on one of the boats.
What?
He's on one of the boats. He's just...
How'd you get on there?
Yeah, he's jumped onto one of the boats. Well, obviously, they are still just connected.
Yeah.
They're right next to the...
But he's usually... He can be a bit weird around water. Sometimes it's like it's not there, and sometimes...
It's quite unlike him.
He needs picking up, but...
It's quite unlike him.
All right. I get my way down to the boat, and I sort of...
Yeah.
Does it look like the sort of boat someone might be in?
Yeah.
So I think I'd give it a little knock and sort of say, really sorry, my dog's jumped onto your boat. I'm just going to come pick him up if that's all right. Sorry to bother you. And I sort of take a step down. And
you don't hear any reply.
Yeah.
But it's big enough to, and it looks like it's the kind of houseboat style crossover. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they'll understand, I'm sure. My priority is I get onto it. I want to step onto it. And
yeah.
Does he look worried or is he...
No, he climbs into your arms, and are you going to papoose him, or are you going to?
Yeah, I'll keep him in the papoose.
He sort of licks you and looks a bit overexcited.
What are you doing, Rahman? Honestly, you freak me out sometimes.
He does look a bit puzzled, and at that point, you realise there's a woman walking along the path, a young woman with a baby in a buggy, or you assume so.
Oh God, that's it. that's it. And I suddenly realise that's it. And that's what, it's that foresight that, and so I immediately, I climb off the boat and I say, excuse me, miss.
And she goes, yes.
And is she on the slope?
She looks shattered. She looks absolutely shattered. It's early in the morning, right? She's obviously, she's sort of pushing the baby, even as she stops to talk to you, she's sort of rocking the baby backwards and forwards.
And I don't want to run up to her. I don't want to scare the lass, but...
But big bags under her eyes. No, no, she's just talking to you. I mean, like...
Walk up to her and I say, sorry, love, you don't know the way into, what's the quickest way back into town? I've not been in the area a while and I've sort of not lost...
You want to get... But... You want to go just back into town? It's just... Right. You just run back up that way. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm just very tired.
Oh, right. You want some... did you not sleep?
My baby's not sleeping.
Sorry, it's not my business.
No, he's not sleeping. I don't know why he doesn't sleep.
Oh. I can't say I've got kids myself, but this little terror, for the first year I had him, he'd keep me up on... I'd be up all hours, so I think I might know something of it. It's hard not getting enough sleep, but you've my sympathies. Do you want to... Why don't you have a sit down? We can just chat here a little bit.
And you sit down with this woman and you have a really good conversation with her. She is bordering on hallucinogenic levels of sleep deprivation. She comes from a pretty basic background. She's very...
Is the father present? Is one thing I might tentatively try.
I think the implication you get is that the boyfriend is around still, but doesn't really do any childcare. And it isn't until you've sort of sent her on her way with a cup of hot tea, with some sugar, that you get from a local guy who's opened up his little stool nearby.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely buy it.
And you get back to doing your sun salutes, that you really feel like you're getting back to your normal self.
But I intervened. That was the spot I'd envisaged the baby coming out. And
You made a difference. She was no longer... She wasn't on the hill, so the thing is... You never... But the lingering sensation that vision has felt so real. It just felt so real. But
breathe it out.
It's gone.
Breathe it out.
And as you salute the sun, the breath enters and inspiration is found. Which surely brings us to breakfast.
About time.
Yeah, so I am... I was going to just travel up to Norwich today, so I wake up at home in Woking and... a breakfast, right? I don't have to tell you about
it. I wake in Woking.
a grammar nightmare. I go to my fridge and I take out the overnight oats that the doctor has recommended, and I sort of give them a little stir, take my medication, which I am to take before every meal, and as I wait just for the with a full pint of water, and as I just wait sort of 5-10 minutes for the medication to go down before I start eating, I take out my iPhone and start checking my emails. I still find it a bit awkward. I was used to have a BlackBerry. I found it much more useful for the way the email servers sort of syndicate down through a BlackBerry. iPhones are not totally instinctive to me, but anyway, I start typing a few WhatsApp messages, send one to
amazing
Alicia, just say looking forward to seeing you today, and I type one out to another friend sort of slightly anxiously. Just the message says, long time, could you hook me up today? But I don't press send. I just sort of sit there looking at it, and then I delete it, and then I start tucking into my oats slowly. I take it easy. I try not to rush my food. I know that's been, you know, a problem in the past. Yeah.
Could you give me a power roll?
That's a very good roll, I believe. Yeah, that's that's a extreme success. That's an 11 on my 65 power. Do the good rolls now when they don't matter, and then can have some shit ones later on.
Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. It's the best way. So you use a spoon, right, for your eyes? Oh, yeah. Not some kind of fancy Tibetan cradle or something, I don't know.
No, standard. Stainless steel.
Standard spoon. You're just moving through and you smear the oats away off a finger. A little finger in your bowl.
What? A finger in my bowl?
It's like a wizened finger. And you realise you are having a hallucination, right?
Yeah, must be. I frantically go to the packet of medication and start looking at the leaflet, look at the side effects. You know, one in 10 sickness, one in 100 painful headaches, you know.
The numbers start to move slightly. Was it 100 or was it 1,000? Was it 10?
I don't know, but I'm looking. Oh.
Then one of the zeros starts to climb out of the page. And just starts to sort of come up towards your eyes. And it's coming towards the centre of the point between where your third eye would be. A zero is approaching your third eye.
I take my glasses off. I throw them across the table.
And you have sat there and you've thrown your glasses across the table and the oats are there. And the text is sat there still. You never deleted it. You can just see the text there. Can you fix me up?
I press send.
And you press send. It's been a while since you had a hallucination. Especially one where, as far as you remember, you didn't take anything the night before or during the night, so. But yes, your breakfast is slightly soured as a result. And I think it isn't until you go to the bathroom and relieve yourself.
Yes.
Of a good bowel motion.
Well, not that good, but...
Not that good, but a... well, I mean, pleasingly, I think, not... You've been keeping to the regimen, so... Actually, it's not as bad as it could be.
Good.
It could be worse.
I didn't want to eat the rest of those oats after that, but I know I had to. I know I have to eat regularly. I know that's important. So I think I...
Yeah,
sort of forced it down.
Yeah, I know, and by the end it was still tasting good. Your mind took over and told you it's okay. It's all just in my head. Alicia, do you text back?
It's Alicia, and
sorry, Alicia. Alicia Keys. Alicia, yep. Keys.
That was
sorry,
my maiden name. I. So I married my half Filipino husband, Gary Wico.
Wico,
Mr. Juco,
Mr. Wico. Gary Wico.
I do text back. I say, it should be interesting catching up. Haven't seen Ray or Melinda for a long time before the reunion. I wonder if he'll bring that dog that he was telling us about, showing us the pictures of. And I don't mean Melinda. Lol.
Classic. Classic.
Burn. I do. Lol. On the porcelain throne as I read this reply from Alicia.
Yeah.
I even put.
Oh, lol.
Rotful. No one uses that one anymore.
I don't ruffle, I just lol.
Yeah, this is contemporary, lads.
Yeah, but I'm 44. Yeah.
I think you're it's 2022. Yeah. He's 44. But fair enough.
Contemporary starts to lose its meaning around the 40s.
Yeah. Meaning? So we're supposed to have meaning. Christ. Oh, God. Your eyes linger, Eric, on the O in lol. Just a little second longer than you'd like, I think. It is still there on the screen, right? It's not moving, is it?
No,
it's not moving, is it? And nothing else moves or seems unreal for any of you. And you have an opportunity to go to Cinema City at 3 o'clock. Did anyone have any errands to run before that they were desperate to pursue? Or?
No.
Then I think it's fair to say you find yourselves at the... Suckling House,
off of St Andrews. Around 3 p.m, some of you might be on time, some of you might be late, some of you might be early. But no matter when you arrive, Sarah is there, waiting for you. She has long, dark hair. She wears it down. It's been straightened. She looks both nervous and very tired. In fact, if you're honest with yourself, you think she looks a little worse for wear. And the conversation is briefly stilted. But as you all begin to arrive, things become more natural. There are greetings. And, you know, Sarah's very... as you will see, she's very communicative, and she mentions both her son, Sean, and her daughter, Angelica, quite regularly, and maybe she even shows you some photos. And there's about 20 minutes of polite chat about everybody sort of getting coffees and catching up after the reunion, her saying that she's sorry she couldn't be there. And then one of you moves things on to the real reason of your being here.
So are we outside, or are they all right with dogs?
Oh, you can bring your dog in.
That wasn't the real reason.
You can bring your dog in. Yeah. But to be fair, no, sorry, I should have said, the five of you arrive.
The famous five.
And are in the cafe.
I'd take him out of that papoose if I were you. Round here, people think it's your kid.
probably.
I'm just so pleased that you all could make it. It's so nice.
No, of course, you know, wouldn't miss it.
Likewise.
You know, even though you know, I'm quite a bit busy at the moment, it's still obviously always lovely to meet up with old friends, and you know, yeah, it's a
big night, was it, Sarah?
Strange to be back here.
Was it a big night, Sarah?
Oh, don't be unkind.
A big night.
I'm not being unkind. I'm just saying you look like you had a big night.
You always just say what you think, Alicia. And it's always been one of your most charming aspects, you know. I've always so liked how, you know, you're just honest, aren't you? You're just honest.
That's one word for it.
Brutal. Brutally honest.
Looks like someone had a big dinner.
you are too, Mel. You are too. It's funny, isn't it? It feels almost like we're just picking up where we left off. I can't really explain it. I suppose it's exactly what I wanted, really.
Did you just want a chat, or...?
But no, it wasn't a big night. No, I really wanted to... Yeah, it's just, I feel like...
Is everything all right?
So I'm going to sound like I'm crazy here, but...
Probably.
No, I just...
Shh.
That's what people always say in this situation, isn't it? It's like, you know, you ask your old friends to come. I mean, I hope it's all right if I talk about you like that, because, you know, I've thought about all of us a lot, you know, ever since.
What's happened, Sarah?
I mean, obviously, you know, you were... She does... She when you say directly what happened, Sarah, she does take a pause. And the smile that keeps trying to force itself on her slightly thin face. She used to be quite sort of elfin, good-looking, but now she looks drawn, in truth.
I put my head in my hands and I go, oh, shit, oh, shit.
It's all right.
No, it's not... Listen, it's not like that. Alicia... Look, you remember David, right? I mean, you remember David. I mean, how silly. Of course we all remember David.
Yeah.
I mean, you know... Well, did you know, so anyway, he married Bridget.
Yeah.
Pretty much the year after. And, well, I know it sounds a lot. It seems so stupid after the society, but I'd always held a bit of a torch for him, and I just... Well, look, something happened, we got together. I mean, it was a long time ago. It was 10 years ago, you know? But we just kept seeing each other.
Wow.
And we just kept seeing each other, and I... Oh, I don't want to... This is not some kind of weird Catholic thing. I'm not trying to get it off my chest or anything like that. It's just...
A long time ago.
But look, anyway, yeah, look, I promised myself. I promised that I'd tell you this. I promised that I'd say this, so I'm going to see it through. Like, He said he wanted something special for us together. He wanted us to have a moon child together. Could you all roll your occult?
Yeah.
Just before I roll it, can I clarify something about timeline?
Yes.
So did we have a physical reunion, did you mention, or have I misunderstood that?
Yes, you mentioned the UEA, but it's for one night only, you know.
Brief, sort of.
And that was that a general, like that was specifically the society?
No, that was the whole year group.
Ah, okay, right. Was...
Yeah.
The year group of 2001. The graduating year group of 2000.
Was David there at that event?
No.
Okay.
The only people who were... John Vinnicker was there.
And we were all there.
And Maggie Stern sent her apologies, but no other member of the 13 was there.
Other than us four.
Sarah apologised in her messages to you, saying, oh, I wish I'd been there. I wish I could have been there at the reunion.
Right. OK, great. Now, that's really helpful. Thank you.
It was on Facebook. She said that.
So the four of us have been in touch more recently than we have with anyone else in this society. Thank you for that.
Yes. Now, is it worth me spending a point of luck to make this an extreme success?
I failed.
No, Dom, I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
Okay. Well, it's a hard success then.
An extreme success. Would that make a difference?
He ponders.
No, I think save it. So the three of you who failed, you remember this. This is the child of the goddess, one who is blessed with the power of nature to do good in the world in the name of the goddess. Obviously, it ties into a whole load of stuff about Fraser and the golden bough and the child who comes and redeems the bushel of gold is born. It brings to mind Baldur, the golden child who will bring happiness and sorrow to Odin. It brings to mind Christ. It brings to mind Zeus taking Cronus's crown. And I think it's that path that leads you, Alicia, to realise, because it is a hard, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's very nearly an extreme success. So I'm basically going to say, you did a little bit more reading on this back in the day. And it has been traditional for Western traditions to swing it that it's a great positive thing. You are 100% sure it is a power of great neutrality. And it can be infused and changed by those who wield it, as with all magics. But there's been a real job done on it to sell it as a positive. Like, this is, you know, this is always a blessing because children are blessings. Remind me, Alicia, you don't have children, do you?
No.
Did you and...
Gary.
I knew you said John. I had it there. I had it right there. Nearly got it. Did you and Gary ever talk about having kids?
Oh, yeah. We discussed it a couple of times and we thought about it for a while, but we just felt...
Quite a long time. You're 44, right?
Yeah. But, you know, about a decade ago, we got really seriously thinking about it and I came to the conclusion that I wasn't that bothered, and then it came out that he wasn't that bothered. And actually, you know, we wanted...
a cruise.
We wanted the disposable income.
yeah. And I think that you're tempted to get lost in the thoughts about that. It becomes quite emotional for you for a split second. Mm. But it is a hard, bordering on extreme success, and I think, you know, save your luck. And it just focuses your mind again, and you... I think you smell doubt.
Mm.
I think essentially I'm going to give you a psychology pass. You think she might be lying about something.
Mm. And just to clarify, in terms of what I consider a moon child to be, the definition...
The other three of you...
In sort of occult terms, what would that be?
It is a child of the goddess.
Child of the goddess.
Crucially of all, it is a child conceived in a magical ritual.
Right.
But I think you all essentially understand.
So it doesn't have to be a product of infidelity, or it's probably more to do with when a child is conceived.
Both when and how.
Ah.
And the methods used.
Upside down or something.
There are various interpretations of so-called druid texts, which we all know aren't real, but people claim... connections.
Mm.
And certainly, but there's a strong suggestion, you know, that the Anglesey traditions handed down oral confirmation of things. There's been a lot of good work by verified academics in the 20th century and continuing into the 21st. And as perhaps some of that is sort of flying through your mind, Sarah presses on in her way. She's quite, she's getting quite febrile, if you can't tell from my performance. She says, anyway, you know, it was supposed to be a child of the goddess, and I was just so You know what he's like. I mean, you remember what he was like. And I know it wasn't the same. And she sort of reaches out a hand as if to touch your hand.
Melinda.
But she sort of pulls it back at the last second. And you do see how thin her hands are.
Sarah, hang on. What are you saying? Are you saying that you had a baby with David?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, I did. It was just like 9 months later after he persuaded me. Like, it was such a wonderful night. Anyway, I sound like I say.
Well, you'd hope it was 9 months later. I'd be concerned if it was a different passage of time.
Oh, yes. So, well, I mean, obviously, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Ha ha, Eric. Very funny.
But, you know, always so good with your numbers, Eric. Of course, yeah. I'm like, it is particularly, but it was full term. I mean, I got really nervous. And
so what?
Oh, he's such Sarah. A special boy. He's my Sean. And
Sarah. And I'm going to try and speak my mind in a slightly more sensitive way than I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
So I lean over and I take her hand and I say, is this what you wanted?
Oh, yes. No, yes. Yes, it was. Of course it was. I mean, I felt blessed by the goddess and so did David and Sean.
But do you still feel blessed?
She's smiling as she's talking about Sean, and as you say that, the smile sort of crumples. Her face crumples.
I don't know what it's like to have kids, but from what I gather, from the bit of reading I've done on the internet and some of the soap operas I've watched, it's okay to sometimes feel like it wasn't a great idea.
From some of the conversations I've had with my fellow role players.
She really holds onto your hand.
It doesn't mean you don't love him. It just means that love's complicated.
I think there are tears in her eyes. But she says, look, recently things haven't been going well between me and David. It is true, it's true. But I just...
Does Bridget know about what's happening?
He's got angry. He's got really angry. And he's become unreasonable. He's become...
But you're still...
Yeah, wait. What a minute. Where's Bridget in all this? I don't...
I've never told Bridget. We've never told Bridget. She gets quite fierce.
How old's Sean now?
Listen, right? It was 10 years ago.
How old's Sean now?
So he's 9. He's 10, 9.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 9.
He's just 9.
Bloody hell.
Who's... Where have you left him, Sarah? Who's looking after him? Are you with someone? Is there someone else you can sort of rely on?
Well, look, he's with Angelica, my daughter.
How old's she? Again?
She's 16. Look. Listen, I've just got to tell you because I'm scared now. So I.
Well, yeah, you've got a lot to carry that secret.
Yeah. Thanks, Alicia. Thanks. It does mean a lot, and I'm so grateful for all of you coming. And I know that John and Maggie wanted to be here, and like they mentioned, they might even try and come this weekend. But it's just David. I think maybe he's got getting ill again. Maybe I don't know. He sounds so desperate. He says that he's going to take Sean away, and that Sean would be better off living with him and Bridget. And I can't, he's gone crazy. I think he's just gone crazy. And she starts to break down.
There. Yeah. I'll get a tissue from the bar.
All right.
I'll get another round of drinks. I'll come with you.
I think I'll put my arm around her. You give her a bit of a hug.
Yeah.
Give her a smack.
Right, look, Sarah, you've been looking after Sean. You've been looking after him for 10 years. There's no way the courts would let him come in and take him.
No.
It's just not. It's not going to happen. You're his mother. The child will stay with his mother.
Yeah.
I've had a really difficult time. Listen, it's just not the worst of it. I'll wait till the others are back.
Yeah.
Here they come.
Shots.
Do you? I was going to say, do you just come back, Eric? With
I was just going to get another round of drinks, no matter how.
Yeah, yeah. Were you getting coffees or were you getting? Because this is a bar.
Oh,
as well
were
as
we currently drinking coffees?
Oh yeah, this was coffee.
In which case, I think maybe
cafe.
I get a round of stiff drinks, thinking this is not a coffee situation. This is
yeah.
Yeah. You know, I may be awkward, but I'm not a complete moron. I'm like, this is stiff drink, the situation.
No.
So I think maybe...
Do they do a turmeric latte?
The young girl looks at you and says, yeah, sure. And she agrees to a turmeric latte.
Norwich has changed.
Norwich really has changed, guys. It really has. You're quite close to the lanes there.
Four gin and tonic. You sure you won't? Sure you won't have one, Alicia? You sure you won't?
Yeah, no, I will.
Five gin and tonic.
The keen guy behind the bar with dreadlock hairs. Dreadlock hairs? Jesus.
Dreadlock hairs.
She's got five dreadlock hairs.
With Homer Simpson.
With dreadlocks, goes. Yeah, man. Sure. Yeah. G and T's. Do you want Fever Tree or do you want
House?
Yeah, and do you want a house or do you want... And then he starts reeling off 17 different gin types.
Is one of them organic?
You got Plymouth? Have you got Plymouth? Plymouth and a Fever Tree.
Just oh, yeah, Plymouth's really nice.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Might as well have stayed in London.
Yeah. You ever tried the Plymouth? Jesus Christ. Ever tried the Plymouth gin distillery? It's got a great bar there, man.
Yeah, I have been there, actually. Not for a while. Yeah. Thanks.
Plymouth.
You return after an interminable 19 minutes of getting drinks, which we won't role-play out entirely, as each tiny bit of turmeric is added to the latte.
Freshly ground from the root, presumably.
And the sight of this gin and tonic is definitely enough for Sarah to feel like she has the courage to take control of her feelings, and she wipes tears away and thanks you for tissues.
Get that down your pep.
Down in one.
Chug it.
We like to drink with Sarah.
And she says, look, I know it sounds a lot, and I know you've really understood the atmosphere that I'm trying to establish here as the keeper. and in no way try to sort of undermine it.
Why did she invite us?
I really respect that as fellow players. But like no one else would actually really understand, because he said this to me. I mean, get this. He says the goddess has spoken to him and that has demanded payment, and he says the payment is blood. I can't quite believe him, but he's chosen the members of the society.
All right.
He was in a rage. He was in a rage, and I didn't believe him. I thought he was joking. I thought he was just angry and mad. But then
I think he is.
Listen, all right. Look, Stacey Kimball. Stacey, you remember Stacey? She's in the madhouse. Well, I mean, she's. Well, she's on her way there anyway.
She's
that, if that's not enough, look at me. And she holds her hands out and they're sort of shaking and they're really thin and she's got really drawn face. And look, and I'm sorry, look, Alicia, I don't like to say it, but like, I mean, how do you think Gary died? Surely you can see it.
Gary
doesn't
died
make
in a
sense,
motorbike accident. Do you know what they call motorcyclists? Organ donors. That wasn't anything weird. That was to be expected. That was always a risk. And...
Hold on. So you're saying that he has threatened all of us?
He said that he killed him.
What?
I didn't know if he was lying or... He was angry.
He said he killed my Gary.
He implied it.
Okay, well, how did he imply it? Hang on. Okay. Just keep calm. How did he imply it, Sarah? I need to know this. How did he imply it? What did he say?
Let's try and keep our voices down.
Listen, the likelihood is he heard about your poor Gary's death and he used that part of his mind games that he's playing with...
Ramen,
do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But we still...
I believe you, Ray, but I need to hear from Sarah the words that David used.
Right, Sarah, two big mouthfuls of that G&T. Now, one... Good girl. Two. Good girl. All right. Right, give her a minute. Right, take a breath. And then tell us calmly what this is all about.
I still want to hear what David said.
I don't... He said to me, he was in my kitchen. He'd come over and he was threatening to take Sean that day. And I said that he couldn't have him. And he threw me into a wall. Look, I've got bruises, and she rolls her sleeve up, and I mean she's always been skinny, but you can see these bruises on her arm.
And she says, he
said to me, you don't want to end up like some of your friends
and some of their partners. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, how do you think people die? They die because they've got power. Maybe, I don't know. I thought he was meaning it wasn't long after. I mean, it wasn't long after.
Listen, love, what you need to bear in mind most of all is that he cannot hurt you anymore, because we know now. We're going to make sure we're going to take care of that, okay? We're going to take care of you. So everything else you tell us, you can tell us everything. And you don't need to worry, because there's no way you're going back to that bastard.
Yeah, and like you say, you know, you said yourself, it sounds like he's getting sick again. That's what this is.
I don't think he's a bastard, Ray. I know. You just, but that's something you say up north, and it's like this affectionate thing.
We all were a bit obsessed with him at school. I get where this love of yours comes for him. We all idolised him to a certain extent. I think I certainly did. But there's a reason. There's a reason that I stood outside that hospital and I didn't go in. And it's because I knew that there was something slightly off. And even if you don't want to blame him, you cannot be with someone who does that. So
One of us should speak to Bridget. Obviously, not to tell her about Sean. I just mean to find out.
No, Bridget.
No. Just to find out how he is.
But then maybe she does know already. Like, maybe she's wanting to take Sean. I don't know.
I used to hear voices as well. But that was because it was a mental illness, Sarah. And if he's hearing voices, and I believe in the old gods, but what you're describing is a man who is mentally ill.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Alicia. That's what's going on.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. But you're all right now. You've told us we're not going to let it happen. You're safe with us now. We will protect you.
Yeah. And listen, is he still working? Is he working? When's a good time to get Bridget alone? One of us can give her a call. I don't mind giving her a call and asking.
Yeah. As Eric's saying that, and it's sort of connected to Alicia's. Once you've read a name that many times, that's that way.
I think this happens to her all the time. Happens to her all the time.
Yeah. Happens all the time. Yeah,
it didn't happen in the 90s.
But it might be something to do with what Alicia's line of inquiry. But could you all, including Eric, give us a spot hidden? But it's just as Eric's talking.
Ooh, spotty hidden.
Ooh. A little spotty hidden.
Ooh. Oh, that's no good.
That's not very good.
Oh, that's very bad.
But my spot hidden's good.
Push it. Push the room.
I'm going to say it's good. It's better than one in two.
All four of you failed.
I'm going to push it.
Could be worth a push for the team.
Push it.
Wait a minute.
I don't think
I've got a spot hidden.
Oh, that means it'll be the base.
Oh, it'll be
25.
25? No wonder she's got fired from her last job.
I'll give you a plus 10. Take a 35. You're not the only one who's had an advantage. I've made some adjustments to other people's.
Sure. Nepotism's strong.
Have you?
Yeah, I know. I really like Paul Fricker's pre-generated characters. They are, I think they're really good for the job. And, you know, obviously we didn't choose John Vinicor or Maggie Stearns, did we? As discussed. I know that people were slightly tempted. But I have made adjustments to three or four statistics for people because I just felt like Alicia didn't have a very good history score, and she's an antiquarian, and I kind of go,
yeah,
I mean, you're studying history at university probably for that. So I boosted Alicia on history, and I'm sorry, because Mel, I should have boosted you for spot hidden, because I mean, I don't think you can be a journalist and have bad spot hidden. I mean, like 35 is not massive, is it? But 25 is too low, so I'm going to stick with that. And I think I've boosted one of Ray's as well, and I can't remember which one. Eric, you have pretty good skills, I seem to remember. Anyway, I think it all comes out in the wash, guys. I've been as fair as I can, and I just, you know, I never want to string people up on, you have rubbish skills and therefore you failed in your fight against Cthulhu. That's not the game for me. You know, the game is you have amazing skills and you still fail in your fight against Cthulhu. Anyway, back to the game.
Shall re-roll them. That's a 32 on a 35.
Hey.
But Alicia doesn't know that, so I want to know whether Alicia's going to push her. She feels like she's missing something.
Yeah.
Alicia's particularly aware that she might have missed something because you see something about her eyes as you finish what
you said. I see Mel. She seems to notice something.
So I...
She leans in.
I whip round in my chair, and I'm risking knocking over all of the gin onto the dog.
And maybe the dog sweeping off as well.
Yeah.
You're going to get kicked out of the cafe. Fingers crossed.
Hey, that's the shit that dreams are made of. What's that? That's an extreme success.
Here we go.
Okay, so you... you both see that her eyes glaze over just at the end of Alicia talking about hearing voices. And she looks at Eric really weirdly as he's talking to him. And Eric, you're saying this stuff, which is both reassuring but also just pursuing the exact details. And with the extreme success, I'll come to you in a second, but... Melinda, I think you see for a moment, it's almost like she looks a bit absent. Mm. Almost like her head just sort of slightly lolls in that second. And then she sort of comes back to herself. Was it an extreme, Alicia?
Yes.
Okay. So her eyes glaze, her head drops, and you see someone step away from behind Eric Wilson. In the reflection of her eyes. Like a pale face of long black hair, maybe? Just goes...
Oh, fucking hell, that's horrible.
That's disgusting.
Oh, that's actually giving me goosebumps.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
I've got two questions. If I whip round, is there anyone there? There's no one in the bar that looks like that.
You can't see anyone there now. All part of your whipping, I think, is all fair. That's more than fair.
Is this going to be a sanity roll, is my second question.
That will be a sanity roll. Yeah. With that.
Fair play.
Ooh, yeah, should I do it? Do you want me to do it now?
Why not?
Yeah. I failed.
We'll come back from the break for your sand ramifications.
I've got to go and walk a dog in the dark now. Fuck.
Jeannie's going to go walk the dog in the dark.
Fuck.
Yeah, but Jeannie, you've got to go and walk a dog, and after that we should take a break.
Dan, can you put some more lights on in your room when we come back? Because it's really fucking me up. Like,
turn all the lights off.
It's like, really,
there's something in the darkness behind.
Oh no, not you as well.
Oh, what? Come on, Joe, don't be silly.
Oh, damn, that's really horrible. That's really good.
Right,
oh no, Dom's is even worse because he's got weird. Is anyone else getting the weird shadows?
He's got like a weird penumbra.
It's too spooky. Man.
Oh, that's very Nosferatu.
Oh, yeah. It's a good part of you, actually.
Right. See you all in a bit.
Right, oh, I'm gonna go with the dog. Bye bye.
I'm always terrified this wardrobe's gonna burst open and there's just gonna be like I failed, I got a 66.
No, wardrobe
5, so
66. Okay. We'll come back and deal with the ramifications.
The ramifications. God, I need to go and stand outside for a bit. It's fucking boiling in here.
Whew. At least it's hot when the ghosts are behind us.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. It's just horrible.
Stop Blair witching us.
Stop it.
I was there for ages. Right.
That was what was horrible about it. I just saw it. Ugh.
Gross.
Sorry, Dom. Typical of them interrupting. Typical. Yes.
Right, I'm going to go and step outside.
Right. I'm going to go.
Yes. See you in a sec. Oh, sweaty Betty.
See you